the street we're coming up to here is going to be North Buffum Street. It's a street that's definitely gotten a lot of attention from the police. One of the area gangs here has definitely been active as far as drugs, assaults, shootings. Who wants to add on that? I'm sure you know.
For years, it's kind of been known as Buffum County. It's kind of where the gangs have been. We've just had a huge investigation that went on. We're changing the name to the Harambe North area, trying to get the area back to the homeowners so they can feel a lot safer through here. We're coming up to this tree right here. It's where a known gang member was killed in a homicide, and it's kind of like a memorial to him. You know, for when people drive by and see, they'll have the candles going. Right here is another gang member who actually was killed by himself playing around with a gun. A lot of times when, you know, these gang members are killed, they'll have their memorials where the family and friends will come out for a vigil either that night or a night after, and, you know, they'll reminisce and kind of talk about the loss of their friend or family member. A lot of times they'll have the pictures, and usually they're pretty calm. You don't usually have too much trouble there. And, you know, we usually give them the respect to have their vigil and their prayers. You know, it doesn't usually erupt to anything big. Coming up through here, still part of this Buffum County here, was a big area that we had troubles with. House up here, this yellow house right here, was a big problem. A search warrant was recently done on it where we closed it down. It was a known drug house and gang house where they did a lot of their packaging of the drugs. You know, a lot of it people don't realize until they see with their own eyes. You get a lot of people that'll see it in the paper or hear things, and you know, the first response is like, I can't believe there's no way that it happens. And it does. The reality is, there's a lot of things that isn't in the paper that they don't see. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of these gang members, people don't realize how and ways, you know, like my partner stated, a lot of the gangs over here aren't real organized as they are in the South End, but there still is some, you know, organization, you know, where they'll have their spotters or they'll have, you know, their lookouts when they're doing their
definitely
drugs.
A hierarchy.
You know, they have their different stages, who runs it, who's selling, who's the muscle, kind of like who does the shootings and things like that.
But you necessarily won't find, like on the South Side, you very unlikely to have a group of, you know, Latin kings on the same street, you know, minding their own business, when there's also right directly across the street a group of, you know, Mexican posse gang members or, you know, some of the other rivalry gangs of each other. Up here, it's a pretty intertwined network of organized crime.
Now, as somebody who's just driving around looking at this neighborhood, you can tell that it's not in the best of shape. There are a lot of overgrown lawns. There are some houses that are boarded up or that really need some work, some paint or a porch repair. Many doors and windows have bars over them installed by the residents. So, you know, there are signs that it's not, maybe not the greatest place economically. But when you're driving through, what are the signs that you're seeing that actually make you believe that there's criminal activity here as well?
See a lot of cars circling the blocks. Like he was touching on earlier, after working the area so long, making, you know, traffic stops of people loitering in the area, making field interviews of subjects loitering in the area, you definitely start to identify some of the main players. And once you start having contact with them, you find out that they've been spending the whole day on the block. They're not employed. They got nicer things than anybody. You know, coupled with, you know, information that you receive from, you know, citizens, and other informants, you definitely start to identify the main players, and that's who we try to concentrate on. And once you do identify those subjects and you start watching their activity, their patterns, that's when you start to know which houses might have more narcotics than others, where it might just be a house where some of the players will hang out at. So it's definitely getting to know the area, getting to know the residents. You develop knowledge of who your assets are in that area, the good citizens that call us and let us know. We completely understand that there's still a lot of citizens that want to remain anonymous, but we're still willing to talk to anybody who's willing to talk to us, anybody who's willing to give us information, and that's what it takes to make this area better. I mean, everything we do on the community prosecution unit, the District 5 anti-gang unit, the detectives from downtown, the feds, it's very, the information we've received from citizens has been invaluable, to say the least. So, that's really the tools we've used to identify the drug activity up here.
Because gangs try to keep their legal operations undercover, I'm wondering how visible they are to people, like now in the daytime. It's a nice afternoon. You see some people out mowing their lawns, kids playing, sitting on the stairs, just checking out the passing scene. Are there gang members that are milling about among some of the people that we've been seeing walking around, or do they only come out at night?
No, you have them out actually all the time. A lot of these older people that you see standing out cutting their lawns and sitting, by their houses and things like that, some of these people are, second, third, fourth generation gang members that their kids and grandkids are a part of now. Some of these people have, made the decisions to get out of it, and you kind of call them old school, old time, gang members. A lot of people you see out here doing things, you would never think that they're gang members or they're involved. A lot of things you look for, like you said, is a lot of activity where people are out all the time. Granted, we're not telling people they can't, sit out in their front yard and play catch with their kids or hang out, but when you've got, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people hanging out and they've been out all day long and you're getting complaints of cars driving up and slowing down and then taking off and
people going into the house for short amounts of time and then leaving right away.
Learn to see what it's like. A lot of times it's just the activity. It's trying to learn the area, and a lot of the people that you see out cutting their grass or doing things, you get to know them. A lot of times you park your car and get out and talk to them and see how the area is going, see how things are going, and you'd be surprised a lot of information you can get from citizens that, they see that you care, that you really want to change and try to make a difference. They'll help you out and give information. And it's a pretty great asset. Like my partner said, some of the best information you get about gangs and drug problems are from citizens rather than hard work. They're just fed up with it. They want to come home after a hard day's work and, pull out the grill and cook out and sit on the front porch and be peaceful. But instead they're hearing gunshots and seeing drugs dealt by their houses.
Something else that I've noticed as we've been driving around is that even though we're in an unmarked car, every single person stops and stares as we go by.
It might be an unmarked car, but you'd be amazed at things people do in front of you. There's me and my partner of both driving down the street. People, they'll drop their narcotics or, throw their pistols right in front of you. This car, although it's unmarked, it definitely still gets the attention of we're the police. People, if you pay close enough attention, one of the things we definitely look at is, you know, when we do turn onto the blocks, if you do see anybody loitering and you start seeing them passing words to each other and all of a sudden everybody's head spins in our direction, you definitely know that they're taking cognizance of your presence. You know, it's like he was speaking of earlier, the lookouts and stuff that are out, it's usually a decent network where most of the narcotics are being dealt, and one of the harder, you know, areas to catch people are where they have lookouts, where everybody's kind of looking out for each other, letting them know the police are here. You know, it could be as little as a whistle, a yell into the air, or clapping their hands, and you know, next thing you know, people are, you know, running through the gangways and stuff. It's just because it's on my car doesn't everybody knows it's the police coming.
So I'm not sure if I mentioned this to both of you or just one of you before, but the story that I'm working on is about youth violence, and I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the connection between gangs and violence. Are most of the bad beatings and armed robberies and murders attached in this area to gang activity?
A lot of it, you know, I think, first off, a lot of people wonder, what are these gangs? A lot of these gangs where you get a lot of these younger kids and individuals who are involved, they feel a sense of security there, you know, they feel a sense that somebody wants them. You know, you have a lot of broken families, and when these kids join these gangs, they feel protected, they feel wanted, you know, they see money coming in from drugs, and, you know, they feel, some kids feel that they're, you know, unbeatable, unstoppable, that, you know, they're part of a group, part of people who care about them. You know, a lot of the groups that get together, you'll have your little groups that, you know, they want to be drug dealers and they want to sell drugs, but they don't have money. So what's the next step for them to do is they go and they rob people or burglarize homes and sell it for the drugs or buy the drugs with that to get started. You know, a lot of the violence does happen. A lot of the violence where, you know, someone will call to order up some drugs and, you know, they go to purchase the drugs, and instead of giving them the money, they rob them and, you know, take the drugs, and in times does end up in a shooting or a homicide. You know, it's just, you don't know what the actions are going to be, what's going to happen. It's such a quick decision when you see things, and you know, a lot of people you'll hear calls for service, you know, a large fight or something like that. Usually we try to get there as quick as we can because we know what the outcome could possibly be. A lot of it is gang related. A lot of it is drug related.
A lot of the gangs, they'll start out as a group of individuals that just grew up together on that same block, at least on the north side it goes. The north side gangs are definitely more like neighborhood gangs where they'll you know, where their whatever intersection they grew up closest to, they'll, you know, honor that. They'll talk about how, you know, we're the, you know, 1-9 boys, like the area we're coming up to now, the 19th and Nash, 19th and Nash group. Get across this intersection here. We've identified numerous, you know, groups of individuals that they just grew up together, that, you know, they came from broken homes. They one thing they could always count on and knew where each other were was out on the block. They'd go out the front door, and that's, they knew if they ever needed help with something, they could find their buddies that they grew up with. And after time, after, you know, building relationships, they'll start calling each other, you know, whether they live on 11th Street, whether they live on, you know, 12th Street, they'll start using those streets as identifiers, as the name of their gang or clique or whatever title you want to give it.
So in an environment like this where there are so many people, like, for instance, you just mentioned where, you know, kids grow up on a street at an intersection together, and there's that kind of bond and that kind of entrenchment in a neighborhood, are there chances for kids that don't want to be involved in the gang to just mind their own business and stay out, or is the tendency for them to get sucked in as well?
I think a lot of it has to do with their base, their foundation. I mean, they got good home life, you know. Not that that's the save everybody, you know. Just because you got a nice home life doesn't mean you won't be at risk, but definitely, you know, strengthens and lessens the risk of that juvenile. A lot of these families around here are, you know, single parent families, and it's a toss up when you're trying to address the issues of the juveniles themselves who are being violent, and they might come from a house where, you know, no one's employed. Well, that means most likely they're going to be, you know, living in poverty. But then on the other hand, if the single parent is at work, you know, trying to support the family, then you got a parent that's not around to help raise them. I think some of the more troublesome individuals we've dealt with and are still dealing with, they've been raising themselves for the last 10 years. Them and their, you know, teenage friends. That's who they spend the majority of their time with. That's who they learn from. You know, that's teenagers teaching teenagers with nobody else to learn from or reference from except the other guys out on the block. You're just kind of leading yourself for a disaster.